Good morning. Dave and I were talking when I came in, and he said, man, we really should stop telling people who's going to be preaching the next week. I mean, it's better now. We were a little concerned that the crowds are going to be light today. So you all know what's about to happen. Thanksgiving lesson. I mean, come on, really now. It's 2 days after Thanksgiving, 3 days after. 3 days after Thanksgiving, so it's kind of the seasonal thing. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Are we as thankful as we ought to be? I'm not. I mean, I can tell you that for a fact. Jess will tell you, it's probably one of my favorite things to complain. Like, complain about my day at work, complain about gas prices or our apartment. There's not really much to complain about with that, though. That's just picking. Complain about my clothes not fitting, the sleeves are too short, or the waist is too small, or whatever. Just to complain. But I'm not often as grateful or as thankful vocally as I should be. I don't say, oh, well, I got out of bed this morning under my own power, or I've got a job to go to. Even though I might not like it some days, I know that I can go to work and clock my hours and make money to pay my bills or my insurance. Even, hey, I might be sick, but I've got insurance to pay for everything. Or I've got food on the table. I've got clothes on my back. We're not always as thankful as we should be. And the Bible talks a lot about thankfulness. It talks about giving thanks for what we have, and giving thanks for the things that have been done for us, and giving thanks for knowing to whom we belong. So I want to talk a little bit about that today. And I want to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories today. A man once wrote, "The day before Christmas became a Thanksgiving day for my family. The station wagon was packed with kids and travel stuff for the 400-mile trip to Grandma's. As is our custom, before leaving, we asked God to protect us on the road. He did, but in an unusual way. As we were cruising down I-75 in Ohio, we ran over some debris in the road. It made a lot of noise, but it did no damage, or so we thought. With every passing mile, we figured that the crisis had passed. When we pulled off the expressway for gas a few miles later, though, we were in for a deflating surprise. I felt a sickening, sloppy, sinking feeling in the front of the car. Both tires had gone flat. We weren't happy with having to replace the tires, but we were thankful for God's care. Thankful that we didn't have an accident. Thankful that the tires stayed inflated until we got off the interstate. Thankful for the tow truck sitting at the gas station. Thankful for a repair shop that was open. We were thankful for God's answer to our prayer. We have a bad habit of expecting God to answer our prayers in the way we want our prayers answered. Rather than being grateful for God answering our prayers in the way that He deems best. And that's a big problem. We think we know best. We think that we have all the answers, even though we acknowledge that God is greater, that God is better, that God is wiser. But if it's an inconvenience to us, it's no good. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. All the mistakes that we make, all the bad decisions that we make, all the times that we're weak, all the times that we do things we ought not, And God still sees us through. Sometimes the circumstances of our lives are not always the best. It's a factual statement. Sometimes, in fact, they are just awful. They're downright bad. But still, we're to look for something to be thankful for. And there is always something positive for which we can be thankful. Another little story. There was a big snowstorm one day, and the morning after, Susan was outside shoveling her driveway. She stopped to wave hello to her neighbor, who had come outside to shovel his driveway as well. And he asked her, "Susan, why isn't your husband out here shoveling the driveway? Why isn't he helping?" She explained that one of them had to stay inside to look after the children, so they drew straws to see who would go out and who would stay in. And she got the long straw, and she had to go outside. And her neighbor looks at her and says, I'm sorry about your bad luck. And she says, "Don't be sorry, I won." Thankful maybe for a break from having to be inside dealing with the children. Kids can get really, really rambunctious when they're cooped up with nothing to do and nowhere to go and all this energy to burn off and nowhere to do it. Or maybe she's thankful that she could go outside and shovel the snow, healthy enough to get out and do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reads, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We're to give thanks about everything. Hey, my car might not be the nicest thing, but it sure enough gets me from A to B. It takes me to work and back every day. One final illustration. Dr. Dale Robbins once wrote, "I used to think that people complained because they had a lot of problems. However, I've come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. Instead, it amplifies our frustration. It spreads discontent and discord. And it can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc with our hearts and with our lives. Complaining makes us miserable." Going back to earlier where I said I like to complain, I make things worse for myself. "Man, I don't want to go to work today. My job's awful. We're going to be busy." And I hype it up and I make it bigger than it has to be. So when I get there, I really don't want to be at work. Rather than saying, "I'm happy that I've got that job I can go to. Today's going to be a good day." I once had a friend of mine at Orlando. He's gone now, but he told me once, he said, "The only person who can make me have a bad day is me. The only person who can stop me from being happy, the only person that can stop me from being thankful, that can stop me from having a good day, is me. I might be a little under the weather, but I'm alive. My house might not be as clean as I'd like it to be, but I've got a house to live in. My car might not run as well as I'd like it to, but I've got a car. It might be raining outside, but the Lord's given me another day." Brother Cecil was the happiest man I think I've ever met because he didn't let anyone or anything make him have a bad day. He was always thankful. Psalm 77:3 says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. We make these boogeymen, we make these problems for ourselves much, much bigger than they have to be when we complain. In fact, Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15 tells us to do all things without complaining and disrupting. I think the New International says, "Do all things without complaining and arguing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world." A positive, thankful person is a powerful witness in this world. Letting God's light shine through us and our attitudes speaks volumes about the person or the being that we serve. God's given us so much, we should be openly, actively thankful. We shine when we're thankful. Our light shines for God when we're thankful. And when we live and when we express that thanks. You know, instead of looking at the negative in our lives and complaining, we have to look for the positives and give thanks for those. I guarantee that if I gave each of you only 5 seconds to think of something for which you were thankful, you wouldn't come up with just one thing. You'd probably come up with several. I can do it right now. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for God's sacrifice for me. And I'm thankful for my home. Bam. That's 4 things in 5 seconds. And I had to actually say them. You could go faster than that. We need to make it a point to be thankful. We have one thing above all to be thankful for. And you all know what's going to happen here. We need to be thankful for the sacrifice that Christ made for us. We all know we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. We're not really. I wouldn't do it. The Bible says, "No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die." Jesus laid his life down for people he never knew, that he would never know. People that weren't worthy, that didn't earn it, that didn't deserve it, that would never be grateful for it. But he did it anyways. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Are we thankful for God's sacrifice, for sending a part of himself to this earth to live like we live, to know our struggles, to know our pains and our heartaches, to know temptation, and still to rise above it? Are we thankful for the life that he led and the sacrifice that he made and the lives that he enables us to lead because of that sacrifice? Do we tell people about it? If there was a giveaway and every person could have $1 million, this million dollars that they were giving money away from would never go away. I mean, they could just give out as many bundles of $1 million as they wanted to anybody. Anybody that wanted it could have it. You'd tell somebody, wouldn't you? I'd tell everybody, hey, that building right over there is full of people who are just going to give you a check for $1 million. It's not going to bounce. It's going to cash. It's going to be fine. Made out to you. You can have it. You'd tell everybody. Jesus gave us something better. An eternity to be away from your sin. I can save you from it. I can wash you off. I can make you clean. And when the judgment comes, all those things that you might have done, the mistakes that you made, the bad choices that you made, I'll cover for you. I'll take on that burden and I'll wash it away. We got to tell people. Show your thankfulness to God by fulfilling the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preaching and teaching, spreading the gospel to every creature. 5 steps to becoming a Christian. 6 steps to that entry into heaven. Hear the word. It's pretty simple. You can't not live in this society and not know what the Bible is. Got to believe the word. This one's a little tougher. You got to believe that thousands of years ago, some guy was born a miraculous birth, lived a perfect life, and died for us. Got to believe why he did it. Did it to save us from our sins. Got to repent. What does that mean? Fancy preacher word basically means I'm going to stop living the sinful life and instead I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to walk in his footsteps. I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to do my best to be like him. Got to confess. What do we confess? We confess that we're sinners and we can't save ourselves and that Jesus was the Son of God who came to this earth and lived a perfect life and died for us. And then you're baptized. This is representative of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. We die to our old selves, we're buried in that watery grave of baptism, and we're resurrected, new, blameless, clean. Now you're a Christian, but to earn your reward, and earn's kind of a bad word, you can never earn it. That's what makes it so beautiful. But the one condition is that you live your life the best you can. Work for Jesus every day. Struggle to be like him. Do your best to be thankful and to be that light for him and to show other people what he's all about. In all things, be thankful. If you have any need, if you have some problem, if you haven't yet taken on Jesus in baptism, if you haven't been living your life for him the way that you should, the church is here. There's probably water in that baptistry. We can put water in it, yeah. Yeah, we can put water in it. Might even be clean. It's probably going to be warm, too. Small favors, things to be thankful for. If there is an emptiness in your life, if there's a struggle, a problem, anything at all, the church is here to help. And now is the time to address that need while we stand and sing.